Have you ever experienced that moment in life where you did something wrong and as a result you were punished for that particular thing? And you had time to reflect upon what it was that you had done wrong in hopes of learning a lesson and remembering not to go down that same path again. I think all of us could say yes to that. And I think we begin to experience those types of situations from a very young age. For example, sometimes with our young children, we may put them in time out for a couple of minutes or for a few minutes, depending on how bad they may be, trying to get them to see, don't do this again, and trying to get them to learn a lesson. As we get older, we may experience being grounded by our parents because we did something wrong, and they want us to learn a lesson and to remember what we learned and not to make the same mistake again. Maybe in high school you had some detentions along the way. Those were often designed to get you to think about what you did, why you did it, and make sure that you don't do it again. Those were difficult moments, or could be difficult moments, where you would just have to reflect upon the mistakes that you made, or the mistakes that we make, and make sure that we strive not to do them again. And as bad as those may have been for us, depending on the severity of them, I want you to consider for a moment, if you were one of the Israelites, when God told them that for every day the spies had gone into the land, that they were going to spend 1 year wandering around in the terrible wilderness. Imagine being the Israelites and spending 40 years in the wilderness. And each day you were able to think about and consider the terrible mistakes that you had made. You would have that time to remember and to think about the fact that you complained against God and that you rebelled against the Lord and that you did not practice the type of faith that He was looking for from His children. Imagine being one of the children of Israel and seeing your loved ones die one by one as each week and each month and each year and each decade passed until that entire generation was wiped out. That certainly would have been a challenging experience for all of them. And yet, that's what we find, that entire generation that wandered in the wilderness, they experienced that. And those coming up behind them, they would be able to see all of these things. And certainly there may have been questions from the younger people, why are we here and what's going on? And surely those older individuals would have told them what had happened and that they needed to remember some things. And what we find in Joshua chapter 1, by the time that old generation had all died out, that new generation was now ready to go into the promised land. They were going to be led by their courageous leader, Joshua. If you have your Bible, open it up tonight to Joshua chapter 1. As Joshua was going to lead them, God had reminded them to be strong and of good courage. They were going to face new obstacles along the way, but they were to put their trust and faith in the Lord. We find in Joshua chapter 1 that God told Joshua, be strong and very courageous. Meditate on my law. Remember it day and night. Joshua sent spies out into the city of Jericho, that first city that they would defeat along the way. But before that, they had to cross the Jordan River. And what we find in Joshua chapter 3 is that it would be God that would lead His people across the chilly Jordan River. The Bible says in Joshua chapter 3 and verse number 1, then Joshua rose early in the morning and they set out from Acacia Grove and came to the Jordan, he and all the children of Israel, and lodged there before they crossed over. So it was after 3 days that the officers went through the camp and they commanded the people saying, when you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God and the priests, the Levites, bearing it, then you shall set out from your place and go after it. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Do not come near it, that you may know the way by which you must go, for you have not passed this way before. God gave instruction to the people of Israel as to what they were going to do. And Joshua then conveyed that to the rest of the people. In verse 5, Joshua said to the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. Then Joshua spoke to the priests, saying, take up the Ark of the Covenant and cross over before the people. God was going to lead His people through the Jordan River. And they needed to know that it was God that was doing that for them. They were going to experience a great miracle in a short period of time. They were to follow behind the Ark of the Covenant. They needed to know that it was God that was leading them. Pop quiz, you remember the three things that were in the Ark of the Covenant? Let me hear, what are they? They had the tablets of stone in which God had written the law. They would need to remember the law of God as they made their way to the promised land, that they needed to listen to the commandments that God had given them. They had the tablets of stone. What else did they have? They had Aaron's rod. That would be a reminder for the people that if God led them into the promised land, they needed to trust and respect His authority and the men that He had put in certain positions. They had the tablets of stone, they had Aaron's rod, and they had the jar of manna as they made their way to the promised land. These things, particularly the jar of manna, would help them to remember that God cared about them. And just as He had provided for them in the wilderness, He would continue to provide for them along the way. And so what do we see? We see in Joshua chapter 3 that the people of God, they made it through the Jordan River. The Bible says in Joshua chapter 3 and verse number 14, "So it was when the people set out from their camp to cross over the Jordan, with the priests bearing the Ark of the Covenant before the people, and as those who bore the Ark came to the Jordan, and the feet of the priests who bore the Ark dipped in the edge of the water, for the Jordan overflows all its banks during the whole time of harvest, that the waters which came down from upstream stood still and rose in a heap very far away at Adam, the city that is beside Zaratan." Can you imagine walking through that Jordan River? You see the waters being separated, and you're walking through that dry ground. And that's exactly what they experienced. Sometimes we can read over this quickly, but it had to be an amazing thing to experience. Walking through the river and seeing the power of God at display. In verse 17, the Bible says, "Then the priests who bore the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of the Jordan, and all Israel crossed over on dry ground until all the people had crossed completely over the Jordan." God fulfilled exactly what He said He would do. They crossed through the Jordan River. And so what we find is that God, He performed this miracle for them. And then in Joshua chapter 4, we find something else interesting. We're going to be looking at Joshua chapter 4 in just a moment. But let me kind of give you some information with respect to the chapter. After they crossed through the Jordan River, God told Joshua that they were to build a memorial. They were to take some stones, and they were to place these stones in a particular place so that they could remember some things that God had done for them. And then after they did that, these stones were designed so that when their children came years later and they saw those stones, their children would ask them a question. It would be this question here. Not that question. Not that. There it is there. They would ask this question: what do these stones mean to you? It's an interesting chapter, and it's a chapter that maybe we have overlooked from time to time in Joshua chapter 4, where this memorial was made for the people of Israel then and for the future generation, where this memorial would raise questions for the young people, where they would ask their fathers, what do these stones mean to you? It's fascinating, all the different types of memorials that we find throughout the Word of God in the Old Testament and also in the New Testament. And if we look around in our society or throughout the world today, we do the same thing, right? We have different days, we have different events or memorials for the purpose of making sure that we remember certain things, making sure that we do not forget certain things. And I will tell you, brothers and sisters, one of the challenges for all of us here tonight, just as it was for the people of God then, is to forget what it was that God has done for us. Would you agree with that? It can be very challenging in the world that we live in and all the things that we're going through to remember what it is that God has done for us. And yet, that is exactly what God wanted Joshua and the people to do. In fact, look over in Joshua chapter 23. In Joshua chapter 23, Joshua was near death. He said, I'm old, I'm advanced in age, and he wanted to remind the people of God what it was that God had done for them. He was encouraging them, don't forget, we have been through a lot together over the last 45, 47 years. We have experienced a lot of highs and lows. And I'm getting old. I'm going to leave here in a little bit. You need to remember some things that have already taken place. Joshua chapter 3 and verse number 3, Joshua said, "You have seen all that the Lord your God has done to all these nations because of you, for the Lord your God is he who has fought for you. See, I have divided to you by lot these nations that remain to be an inheritance for your tribes from the Jordan with all the nations that I have cut off as far as the great sea westward. And the Lord your God will expel them from before you and drive them out of your sight. Look at verse 6. Therefore be very courageous to keep and do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, lest you turn aside from it to the right hand or to the left, and lest you go among these nations, these who remain among you. He reminded them over and over again. Look at verse number 11. Therefore take careful heed to yourselves that you love the Lord your God, or else if indeed you do go back and cling to the remnant of these nations, these that remain among you, and make marriages with them, and go into them, and to you. Know for certain that the Lord your God will no longer drive out these nations before you. This was a recurring theme all throughout the book of Joshua, that the people of God needed to remember what it was that God had done. What was it, though, that they needed to remember? Why did they need to remember? Well, we see some of that right there. And what do they need to hold on to with respect to God? These are things that Joshua was trying to drive home. And the lessons that they needed to remember, brethren, are the same things that we need to hold on to tonight. As we wrap up our vacation Bible school, we've looked at a variety of lessons with respect to Joshua. Dare to stand like Joshua. Dare to lead like Joshua. Dare to believe like Joshua. And tonight, dare to remember like Joshua. These people needed to hold on to some facts about God for their benefit and for their children's benefit. And the same is true for us. And so our study tonight is going to take us back to Joshua chapter 4. I only have 2 points that I want you to see. In Joshua chapter 4, with respect to this memorial, what they needed to remember and why, and what we need to hold on to, and how we can go about remembering what God wants us to know about Him. And so that's what we're going to look at here in just a moment. While you're turning back to Joshua 4, let me just say welcome again. I know this is our last night, and I appreciate your attention tonight. I appreciate you being here each and every night as we study a very important topic. Nikki and I have enjoyed ourselves tremendously. We appreciate the hospitality and the opportunity to preach the Word of God here and to get to know you more. We will be praying for you each and every day, and we ask that you continue to pray for us in the days and weeks and years ahead. But it's been great for us to be here, and I hope and pray that these lessons have encouraged you and have been a benefit to you at this time. Well, let's look back in our text in Joshua chapter 4. Notice what happened in verse number 1. The Bible says, "And it came to pass, when all the people had completely crossed over the Jordan, that the Lord spoke to Joshua, saying, Take for yourselves 12 men from the people, 1 man from every tribe, and command them, saying, Take for yourselves 12 stones from here, out of the midst of the Jordan, from the place where the priest's feet stood firm. You shall carry them over with you, and leave them in the lodging place where you lodge tonight." In verse number 4, the Bible says, "And Joshua called the 12 men, whom he had appointed from the children of Israel, 1 man from every tribe. And Joshua said to them, Cross over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of the Jordan, and each one of you take up a stone on his shoulder." When you start talking about these stones, you look at the picture behind us. I like the slide, and I like the little pebbles or the stones, but these were to be big stones. They were going to carry them on their shoulders, and so they probably weren't just going to fit in the palm of their hand, okay? This was going to be something that was going to be able to be seen by the people of God. They were to put them on their shoulder according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel. Look at verse number 6. Here's where we get the language that's on the slide. "That this may be a sign among you when your children ask in time to come, saying, What do these stones mean to you?" Now look what he said in verse 7. "Then you shall answer them that the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. When it crossed over the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. And these stones shall be for a memorial to the children of Israel forever." Now look in verse number 19. The Bible says, "Now the people came up from the Jordan on the 10th day of the first month, and they camped in Gilgal on the east border of Jericho. And those 12 stones which they took out of the Jordan, Joshua set up in Gilgal. Then he spoke to the children of Israel, saying, When your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, What are these stones? Then you shall let your children know, saying, Israel crossed over this Jordan on dry land. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of the Jordan before you until you had crossed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up before us until we had crossed over, that all the peoples of the earth may know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, that you may fear the Lord your God forever. And there's our answers right there, brothers and sisters. What do these stones mean to you? What is it that God's people needed to remember about him? There are two things that really stand out from those verses. Number one, the people of Israel, they needed to remember the power of God. When their children asked them the question, they needed to go back and rehearse what it was that God had done for them. That he had parted the Jordan River and that he had allowed them to go through that chilly river. This would not be the first time that God made a memorial for his people to remember his power. I think that this is demonstrated also with when he established the Passover to remember what he had done and how he had delivered them. God wanted this new generation and future generations to remember that it was because of his power, because of his might, that they had arrived where they were. That it was because of him and not of themselves that they came to inherit the promised land. You see, for the people of Israel, as is for us, there is always a temptation for us to think that maybe we have what we have, or we are who we are because of ourselves. And the people of Israel needed to remember, this is not about you. It's always been about me and my power. In fact, I want you to turn over to Deuteronomy chapter 8. In Deuteronomy chapter 8, as Moses gave another account of the law to that new generation in Deuteronomy chapter 8, we see this theme about remembering and not forgetting. If you have a pen or pencil, maybe you want to circle this idea of remembering and not forgetting as we go through Deuteronomy chapter 8. We can't read all of it, but it's amazing how often it's mentioned in here. And this was for the purpose of Israel to know, I'm going to give you the land. Remember yesterday, he said, I'm going to give you the city of Jericho. It's going to be a gift. Well, you need to remember, this is about me. It's because of my power that I'm giving you this land. Every commandment, look at verse 1 of Deuteronomy 8. Every commandment which I command you today, you must be careful to observe, that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land of which the Lord swore to your fathers. Here it is. And you shall remember that the Lord your God led you all the way these 40 years in the wilderness to humble you and test you to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. So he humbled you, allowed you to hunger and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man should not live by bread alone. Look at verse number 6. Therefore you shall keep the commandments of the Lord your God, to walk in his ways and to fear him. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and springs that flow out of valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley, of vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive oil and honey, a land in which you will eat bread without scarcity, in which you will lack nothing, a land whose stones are iron and out of whose hills you can dig copper. When you have eaten and are full, then you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land which he has given you. He said, take a look at all the things I'm getting ready to give to you. They're going to be blessed and they're going to have all these riches. Now look at verse number 11. Beware. You see the warning there. Beware that you do not forget. Don't forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments, his judgments, and his statutes, which I command you today, lest when you have eaten and are full and have built beautiful houses and dwell in them, when your herds and your flocks multiply, and your silver and your gold are multiplied, and all that you have is multiplied, when your heart is lifted up, and you forget the Lord your God. Verse 18, and you shall remember the Lord your God. Actually, we need to go back up to verse number 17, because he was getting ready to show them, make sure that you humble yourself. Make sure you remember whose power it is that got you here. In verse 17, he said, then you say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand have gained me this wealth. You see what God was trying to get them to avoid? He said, don't become arrogant when you go into this land. It's not because of your power, but it's because of me. It's because of my power. It's because of what I have given you. And over again, in verse 18, you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant which he swore to your fathers as it is to this day. Look at verse 19. Then it should be, if any of you by means forget the Lord your God, and follow other gods and serve them and worship them, I testify against you this day that you shall surely perish. Ladies and gentlemen, there's a reason why he is emphasizing this over and over and over again. When you get all of these blessings, don't forget about me. Because I'm the one that have given you all of the things that you have. And lest you think that you are so righteous, and lest you think that you deserved all of this, and that you are a gift to me, I want you to remember that I am God. I really don't need you, but you need me. So don't get arrogant, or don't become arrogant. That's what he's getting at in chapter 9. Look at what he said in chapter 9, in verse number 4. Do not think in your heart, after the Lord your God has cast them out. It seems like Moses is talking to the people. Do not think in your heart after the Lord your God has cast them out before you, saying, because of my righteousness the Lord has brought me in to possess this land, but it is because of the wickedness of these nations that the Lord is driving them out from before you. It is not because of your righteousness or the uprightness of your heart that you go in to possess the land, their land, but because of the wickedness of these nations that the Lord your God drives them out from before you. Look at verse number 7. Remember, do not forget how you provoked the Lord your God to wrath in the wilderness. Brothers and sisters, over and over again, you see this theme. They needed to remember God's power, not their own. Otherwise, they would find themselves right back where they started. They needed to make sure that they would not become stiff-necked and arrogant and prideful because of all the blessings that they had. God said, don't forget about me. When troubles came, when good times came, no matter what time it may have been, they needed to remember the power of God. When you go back to Joshua chapter 4, it's actually pretty interesting because those stones, that memorial that was made, it was established or put in Gilgal. And when you look at when their first king, the king of Israel, when King Saul was made king, it was in Gilgal. And so they would have this reminder time and time again, even when they established the king. King, make sure you remember that it's not your power, but it's God's power that's going to lead these people and help them to get to where they need to be. This memorial was established so that the people of Israel would not forget that they got where they were because it was because of God, His power, and His love toward them. It was something reminded to them over and over again. When their children asked them, what do these stones mean to you? They needed to tell them, son, let me tell you about our God. Let me tell you about how good our God is. Let me tell you about what He's done for us. Let me tell you what He did with our ancestors hundreds of years ago. They needed to remember the power of God. Now go back to Joshua chapter 4, because not only do we see that they needed to remember the power of God, but they needed to remember that they should fear the Lord. In Joshua chapter 4 and verse number 23 again, look at verse number 21. The Bible says in Joshua 4 and verse number 21, then he spoke to the children of Israel saying, when your children ask their fathers in time to come saying, what are these stones? Then you shall let your children know saying, Israel crossed over this Jordan on dry land. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of the Jordan before you until you had crossed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up before us until we had crossed over, that all the peoples of the earth may know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, that you may fear the Lord your God forever. They needed to remember the power of God, and they needed to remember to fear God. You see, it was because of God that Israel would become a mighty nation. They needed to remember his power and have the proper fear, the proper respect, the proper reverence with respect to who he was. It was not about them, ladies and gentlemen, but it was all about God. With all the things that Israel had received from God, yes, they were blessed, but it was about God and God receiving his glory. In fact, in every age, God's people are called to give him glory, honor, and praise. That's why it was such a big deal when Adam and Eve sinned, because they failed to give God glory. Israel, all the things that they received, so that God might be glorified. The same is true with respect to us today. And they needed to fear God and live in a way that would demonstrate their fear, their respect, and their love, their reverence, their commitment to God. In fact, I believe Joshua drives that point home. Look at chapter 24. Now, we are familiar with verse number 15. In Joshua 24 and verse 15, do we all have that verse memorized? What's it say? Anyone? As for me and my house, we will do what? Serve the Lord. It's fascinating that the word serve, this idea of we're going to follow, we're going to be committed, we're going to worship God, it's found all throughout chapter 24. Joshua wanted to make sure that his people, or that the people of Israel, feared the Lord, and that they served only Him. He gave them a reminder of the history of the things that had taken place in chapter 24 and verse 1. Then Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem and called for the elders of Israel, for their heads, for their judges, and for their officers, and they presented themselves before God. He would go through this history to help them to remember all the things that had taken place. Now look at verse 14. Now therefore, fear the Lord, serve Him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the river, and in Egypt. Serve the Lord, and if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve God. So the people said, Joshua, we are right there with you. They said in verse 16, the people answered and said, far be it from us that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For the Lord our God is He who brought us up and our fathers out of the land of Egypt. They began to remind themselves of all the things that God had done. And they said in verse 18, we are going to serve the Lord. But Joshua said to the people, you cannot serve the Lord, for He is a holy God. He's a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions nor your sins. If you forsake the Lord and serve foreign gods, then He will turn and do you harm and consume you after He has done you good. But the people said to Joshua, no, but we will serve the Lord. So Joshua said to the people, you are witnesses against yourselves that you have chosen the Lord for yourselves to serve Him. He kept reminding them, here's what you need to do. And they said, we're going to do this. We're going to fear God. We're going to love God. We're going to remember what He's done. We're going to worship Him. We will serve the Lord. And for a time they did. They remembered these things. They remembered His power. They remembered to fear God. But we know the rest of the story. In Joshua, or Judges chapter 2 rather. In Judges chapter 2. This story, sadly, has a bad conclusion. We know that they were faithful in the days of Joshua, that they said, this is what we're going to do. He was urging them over and over again, follow and serve God. In Judges chapter 2 and verse number 7, the Bible says, so the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders who outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great works of the Lord which He had done for Israel. Now Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died when he was 110 years old. They buried him within the border of his inheritance. Now look at verse 10. When all that generation had been gathered to their fathers, another generation arose after them who did not know the Lord, nor the work which He had done for Israel. Then the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and served the Baals, and they forsook the Lord God of their father. All of that. Remember God. Don't forget His power. Don't forget to fear Him. We're going to do it. And they did for a time. But maybe it wasn't talked about as much because that next generation, they didn't know the Lord. They refused to remember those things that He had done for them and for their fathers in times past. It's a sad commentary with what can happen when we fail to remember what it is that God has done for us. And who God is. God had brought them so far. Remember in chapter 1 of Joshua, He said, look, you want to see success and be prosperous in your life? Remember me. Be strong enough and be of good courage. Meditate on my word. Don't forget who I am. He had warned them. Moses had warned them in Deuteronomy, and yet they would still forget. Joshua had recorded these words for the people of God to remember them. Brothers and sisters, the lesson here is very easy. What God's people must remember about Him, we need to remember His power. We need to remember to fear Him. The same thing that Israel was told to remember, this is exactly what we have to do. It's not because of our power that we are here, but it's all because of God. We remember, or hopefully we should remember, that we were dead in our trespasses and sins, according to Ephesians 2. But it was God and Jesus Christ, because of their mercy and their grace, that saved us from our sins. We need to remember the power of God. the power of Jesus that saved us from our sins. We didn't deserve His salvation. It's not because we are so special that we have received salvation. Just as Israel, they weren't special in the sense of them deserving the Lamb, but it was because of God and because of the love that God had for them. And just as they needed to remember His power, my friends, we need to do the same. We need to remember what He has done for us. And we need to remember to fear Him. That means that we need to be committed to Him and serve Him and honor Him and glorify Him in all the things that we do. That is what our lives are all about. I think we know that, don't we? We know that we should be doing these things. But how do we do it? I think that may be where the challenge is. Sometimes brethren may get upset and they may say, well, listen, we know this stuff. We don't need to be reminded of it anymore, all right? We hear it all the time. We don't need to keep hearing about the same thing, right? Wrong. We need to hear this over and over again. 2 Peter chapter 1. Look at that real quick. 2 Peter chapter 1. Remember Peter, he was near death. And in 2 Peter chapter 1, Peter reminded the saints in verse number 12. He said, "For this reason I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things, though you know and are established in the present truth." These brethren were rock solid. They were standing firm on the word of God. But Peter said, "I'm going to remind you again." He said, "I think it is right, as long as I am in this tent, to stir you up by reminding you." You see, he needed to remind the saints in the first century about some basic facts, to remember that they would not go to the right or to the left, but follow the Lord. In chapter 3 of 2 Peter, he said in verse 1, "Beloved, I now write to you this second epistle, in both of which I stir up your pure minds by way of reminder, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior." They were going to face challenges along the way. Scoffers who were going to mock them with respect to their faith. And Peter said, "Remember the words that I've given you. Remember the words of the prophets, because you will need them if you're going to be successful." And brothers and sisters, we got to remember God. We got to remember His power. We need to remember to fear Him in all of our days. The question is, how do we do it? I think we know this information. The Israelites certainly knew it, and they had things set up so that they could remember Him, but they failed to follow through. So what is it that we can do so that we can remember God, so that we can remember what He has done for us, so that we will be able to teach this to our young people, and so that all of us might make it to our promised land? Well, let me suggest three things that we have from the Word of God that will help us to remember God, His power, and to remember to fear Him. Number one, we have something that we do every first day of the week to help us to remember God, right? We can remember God, His power, and to fear Him by partaking of the Lord's Supper every first day of the week. Remember, I said that there are memorials all found throughout the Bible, or all throughout the Bible. And we have a memorial for us to remember the love of God and the love of Jesus and what has been done for us. Turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse number 23, we are reminded in 1 Corinthians 11 and verse number 23, the Bible says, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which He was betrayed, took bread, and when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, 'Take, eat. This is my body which is broken for you.'" Watch this. "Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, He also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do, as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till He comes." We have this memorial to remember our Savior Jesus Christ, to remember that He died for us, to remember the power of what took place when He died for our sins on the cross, and the fact that He was risen on the first day of the week. And so for us to remember God, His power, and to fear Him all of our days so that we can make it to our promised land, so that our lives can be great, we need to make sure that we are partaking of the Lord's Supper. Every week, 52 times a year, we have an opportunity to come together as the people of God and to remember what God has done for us. That's an awesome thing to consider. To take our minds back to the cross and to consider how much Jesus and how much the Father loves us. And we get this opportunity every week to remember His death till He comes. And I believe that should help us to maybe reevaluate how we view the Lord's Supper. And even maybe how we reevaluate how we come and worship together. We don't do this just to check a box off, or to make someone else happy, or to make our parents happy. Jesus put this in place so that we can remember Him and the sacrifice that He made and how much He loves us, the power of His death and the resurrection and what that means to us. And every week we get an opportunity to do this. Maybe this might help some of us with respect to the importance of coming together on the first day of the week and to worship together and to praise and to give honor to our God. You know, sometimes young people, and I've been in this position before, and I guess older people too, sometimes we may ask, does it really matter if I go to worship or, if I just go every once in a while, what's the big deal? When I was after college, I moved to Rockford, Illinois, and I've told this story back at home, and I've told it to a couple of other people, but with respect to worship, I used to be what I call a one-timer. We had services on Sunday morning and Sunday night, and I would just go Sunday morning. And I had other things to do Sunday night. All the football games, all the good games came on at 3 o'clock. And they didn't get done until about 6 or 6:30. So I would stay home and watch those games. It wasn't good, but that's what I did. But I met a man named Larry. And we lived in the same apartment complex. And Larry, he asked me if I went to church. I said, yeah. And he said, so do I. And he said, where do you go to church? I said, I go to the West Side Church of Christ. He said, I go to the West Side Church of Christ. And I said, well, when do you go? He said, I go in the evening. I said, well, I go in the morning. So we had never met. I was a one-timer. And Nikki allows me to say this. For a while, when she was growing up, she was a zero-timer. She had to get her aunt. Her aunt needed to get her and drag her. You need to be going to worship. You see, all of us sometimes have to take those steps. And young people, I would encourage you, when you go to college, you're going to see where your faith might be. Because mom and dad may not know. Maybe you don't go Sunday morning. Maybe you don't go back Sunday night. But we have an opportunity every week to remember God and to remember His sacrifice and His power and why we need to fear Him. And so why would we ever neglect this opportunity? Those stones were put in place so that the people of God would remember God and so that they would stay on the right path. And brethren, we need to come together and worship. It is vital. It is critical. It's something that God has established for us, and it's a really big deal. We can't just kind of dismiss it and say, well, yeah, I'll go every once in a while. This is something that all of us need, and this is a way that we might be able to remember God's power and remember why we need to fear Him by taking the Lord's Supper as we have been commanded in the Word of God. And yet, that's not the only thing we do. Let me give you a second thing. We can remember what God has done for us by talking about Him in our homes. Go back to Joshua chapter 4 real quick. It is fascinating that in Joshua chapter 4, when these questions were being raised by these children, it appears that it would be the family members, the fathers, that would be answering these questions. In Joshua chapter 4 and verse number 6, the Bible says that this may be a sign among you when your children ask in time to come, saying, what do these stones mean to you? Then you shall answer them that the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the Ark of the Covenant. You see, this was going to be something that needed to be done by family. That the fathers or the mothers need to be talking about this to their children. This memorial was to spark interest in these young people to ask questions with respect to that. And what a powerful thing for us to consider. For us to remember God. To remember His power and to fear Him. This is something that we not only do together on the first day of the week, but it's something that we should be doing every single day in our homes. This is how we will be able to remember God, His power, and why we need to be able to, and why we should be fearing Him in our lives. While it's good for us to have vacation Bible school and classes on Wednesdays and classes on Sundays, parents, we have a great responsibility to teach our children. Not just once in a while, but every opportunity we get. Planting those seeds and helping them to see who God is. And teaching them about the Word of God. This is not just, let them go to vacation Bible school and they got 4 days and that should be enough. That's not going to work. Or Wednesdays and Sundays and that's going to be sufficient. No, it's not. This was a responsibility in the home for the parents. The children were going to ask them, Dad, what do these stones mean? You know what that means for fathers and mothers. They needed to know the history. They need to be able to give an answer. And I would say this would include fathers and mothers, grandparents, grandmothers and grandfathers. We all need to be playing a part in this. This is how we're going to be able to remember God. How we can help our children to make it to the promised land. This is our responsibility. And I will tell you, don't get me wrong, Nikki and I do not have it solved. We struggle with this sometimes. And one of the biggest challenges I think we face is we have so much technology. I'm on my iPad. She's on her, or I'm on my iPhone. Josh is on the iPad. Believe it or not, he knows how to use it. And she's on her iPhone. So we're all going like this sometimes. And that's not always conducive. But we have to make that time. And one suggestion, I've been talking to a brother back at home. How do we make the time? What can we do to have that time at home where we talk about these stones or where we talk about service or worship to God or have Bible questions? Here's something that a brother told me he's doing at his house. Every day for dinner, they put all the electronics in a bowl and they turn them all off. And believe it or not, they're still alive a half hour after they get done eating dinner. They don't really miss anything. And maybe we should try that if we struggle sometimes. Because this is a responsibility that we are to have, or that we are to do. There is an interaction, a communication, a dialogue between young people and their parents. What do these stones mean to you, Dad? Mom, what do these stones mean to you? See, they need to talk about it all the time. And that second generation, after Joshua died, they went down the wrong path because they forgot about God. We have an opportunity to remember God when we come together on the first day of the week, in our homes on an everyday basis. And let me give you one more thing that we can do. We need to spend some personal time with God. Now, on Monday, I gave you the FUD factor, fear, uncertainty, and doubt. I need to tell you, I didn't make that up. I got that from a brother, so I need to give credit where credit is due. But hopefully you remember, fear, uncertainty, and doubt. Tuesday, I gave you some C's, right? Character, commitment, conviction. What's the last one? Courage. Yeah, courage. Yesterday, got faith, then act. Let me give you one more. Maybe, hopefully, you'll remember this one. We need to spend personal time alone with God. And I didn't make this up either. I read it, but it's really helped me out. What we need to do, brethren, we need to tag every day. Tag, T-A-G. And what that means is time alone with God. I know there's a word with, but that would make it tog, and I don't like that. So we need to tag. Time alone with God. Look back in Joshua chapter 1. In Joshua chapter 1, remember what God told Joshua. He said in verse 8, "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do it according to all that is written in it." How is Joshua so prosperous? How could he be so strong? Because Joshua, he had some time alone with the Lord. He was meditating on the word of God. The words that God had given him, he thought about them day and night. Look at Joshua chapter 24 and verse number 26. And Joshua 24 and verse number 26. The Bible says, "Then Joshua wrote these words in the book of the law." He wrote these words down so that people would be able to remember what it was that God had told them. Ladies and gentlemen, we need personal time alone with God. We need time alone to read His Word and to meditate upon it. Not a couple of seconds or a couple of minutes. We need to consider what God has said in His Word. We need time alone to go to God in prayer. We find this in the life of Jesus in Mark 1:35. Jesus woke up early in the morning, went to a place by Himself, and He made time for prayer. This is how we're going to remember God, remember His power, draw closer to Him, and to remember to fear Him and to serve Him all of our days. In Deuteronomy 17 and verse number 18, we don't have time to read that, but in Deuteronomy 17:18, the king, Moses gave instruction that when they established kings in Israel, the king was to make a copy of the law, his own personal copy. And somebody might say, well, that would take a really long time. Exactly. It would take a really long time. But it would benefit the king so that he would go in the right direction. Maybe that's why David said in Psalm 119, verse 11, "Thy word I have hid in my heart." How did David hide the word of God in his heart? Because he was making a copy of the law for himself. And that would require a lot of personal time. Brothers and sisters, this is how we can remember what God has done for us. This is how we can remember these stories. Young people, while your parents have a responsibility to teach you, you have a responsibility on your own to learn the Word of God and to make that personal time to go to God in prayer. This is what we need to do. These are things that are found in the Word of God, found in the Old and in the New Testament, that will help us to remember what God has done for us. I'll give you one last thing, and then the lesson will be yours. One of the things that has really helped me out, particularly with my prayers, has been writing out my prayers and having a journal where I write out my prayers and I'm able to go back and see a couple of months later maybe something that I've been struggling with or something like that. But it's pretty cool to see how God, what God has done or how my prayers have been answered. And maybe that's something that you might need to do. Maybe you're struggling with this idea of time alone with God. Writing out your prayers will force you to slow down and it will allow you to go back and see how things have changed as time has gone on. Whether you do that, however you want to pray, or however you decide to read, I know you guys are reading the book of Joshua in your Bible reading. Maybe that's a way that you can remember all the lessons that we've gone through this week. Go back and read the entire book over the next month. But whatever you do, we need to do these things so that we can remember what it is that God has done for us. When we do, brethren, we will be successful. We will be victorious. We will be prosperous. And our days will be good. That's what Israel had if they listened and remembered what God said. That's why those stones were there, so that they would always trust in Him and to know that it was because of Him that they had received that land and how and why they needed to follow Him. We've talked about Joshua 24 and verse 15 a lot. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Joshua remembered God. He stands out, and that's why. When all these other Israelites died by the wayside, because they failed to remember God. The choice for us tonight is, are we going to remember the Lord? Are we going to look at this past week and say, you know, we learned some things, and then kind of quickly dismiss them? Or are we going to hold on to this and challenge ourselves and one another as we go forward in our days? Take the time to remember God and what He's done in our lives. Your life and my life will be better for it. We talk about the idea of dare. Dare to stand and dare to believe and dare to lead and dare to remember. How about we do this? Let's dare to be faithful to the finish. And if we do that, we'll have great things to look forward to. But in order to do that, let's remember what God has said in His Word. And our days will be great. I appreciate your attention tonight. May God bless you tonight. Maybe there's someone here who has been listening all this week and has yet to respond. Maybe you're not a Christian. Maybe you're not a child of God. Remember what Jesus has done. He died for all the world. He died for the sins of the world. He died for you. He loves you. And because of His mercy and grace, you can be saved tonight. Will you have the courage to follow Him? Will you have the faith to obey Him? And will you have the faith to remain with Him? That's what He wants from us. Maybe you need to be saved tonight. We want to give you that opportunity right now as we stand and as we sing. When the trumpet of the Lord shall sound, and the morning breaks eternal bright.